December 15th. Do you know what that means? In 10 days, it's what? That's right. It's Christmas, man. You guys are supposed to say Christmas. You didn't, though. That's okay. In 10 days, it's Christmas. It's my favorite time of year. It's my favoritest time of year. Honestly, the most vivid memories I have as a child was during Christmas. Specifically, Christmas morning. I can remember it even right now as I think back on that time. When I was growing up, or actually still, I have three sisters, and we would get ready for Christmas certain ways. Usually we would stay that Christmas Eve in the same room. And we would all sleep together or sleep in the same room, and we'd try to fall asleep, but we never could. And then all of a sudden we'd wake up at like 2 in the morning. I'm sure you guys remember this. Some kids probably do this. And we'd be ready to go, wanting to open our presents right there. So our goal was to make as much noise as possible. Why? To wake up our parents. We'd all go use the restroom, and as we're walking down, we'd scrape the hallway wall, you know, wash our hands. We'd all have a cold for some reason that morning. And finally, our parents would wake up, and they'd walk down the hallway, and, oh, good morning, Merry Christmas type thing. They'd get their coffee, and then they'd be looking at us. And we were kind of like all peeking out down the hallway, and we're like a pack of wolves looking at the chicken coop. It left its door open. We're waiting to just pounce on them. That's what we look like when we're kids, you know, foaming at the mouth type of thing. And they say, are you guys ready? We're like, ah! And they say, all right, come on. And so we just whoom, fly down the hall, and we see all of the gifts there. And it was just a great, great time. It's interesting, this Christmas time, because we all have our own memories. You have your memories of what Christmas is. And I'm not saying it was all perfect. You know, I remember the difficult times of Christmas, too. I remember when my Knight Rider racetrack broke. Oh, devastating Christmas morning. All right, I realize it's not all peaches and cream, but perhaps the greatest part of Christmas for me was seeing the Christmas stocking. Even when the Christmas stocking was empty, I just loved it. It signified to me that Christmas was just around the corner, that the Christmas season has arrived. And even more, when I would walk out Christmas morning and I would see that stocking going from being empty to being filled, and it would just bring so much joy to me. And I would go to the stocking, and it was like, it's kind of like eating a Reese's peanut butter cup now. I'd savor every bite. I'd pull the things out of the Christmas stocking and go, oh, look at that. It's toothpaste. And I'd pull another one out, and I'd be like, oh, I got socks. It didn't matter. Dental floss, you know. We didn't even use dental floss, but we loved it. It was the greatest, you know, little Hot Wheels, such a fun time, and we'd show each other, what did you get? I got this, I got that. It was so great. It would signify that Christmas was here, and we were going to have a day filled with friends and family, gifts, and just fun times. Now, here's the point of my message today. Your life, just as a stocking, signified to me that Christmas morning has arrived, should signify to this world and to other people that Christ has arrived and has changed your life. Luke chapter 2, verse 14, the angel said to the shepherds that Christmas morning, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased. Christ has arrived. He has come to earth, and he has changed our lives for his sake. And as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we are new creation for those of us who are in Jesus. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Don't you love that? The new has come. When I think about the Christmas stocking story and where it came from, I don't know if the original author or the person who came up with the idea of it had Christ in mind. But for me, I see the Christmas stocking truly representing what Jesus has done in our life. The story goes, as they say, or as I have read, there was a gentleman who had these daughters, and he was not a wealthy man. Matter of fact, he was in great need, this family was. And the girls, as they were doing the laundry that evening, they hung their socks above the fireplace for them to dry that night. Well, St. Nicholas heard of this family that was in great need. And so while they were asleep, he went and he took gold and put gold in their stocking. I've never got gold in my stocking, but in this story, they got gold in their stocking, and they woke up the next day and found the gold, and as the stories go, they lived happily ever after. Happily ever after. You know, from very early on until now, those type of stories are similar. They're very similar. The context and the actors are different, but the content remains the same. Someone is in need. Someone fulfills that need without being asked and freely. Now, here's how I turn the corner on how this represents Jesus, and you may be already figuring this out. Our need is that of a Savior. Why do we need a Savior? Because we are sinners. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And because of that sin, we experience something that's not fun, as Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." And if we do not know Jesus, we experience an eternity without God. That's what takes place. And so we are in need of something. We are in need of a Savior who will save us from our life of sin. But instead of a stocking being hung, as on Christmas Eve, or in the Christmas season, Jesus hung on a cross. 1 Peter 2 says this, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." The amazing thing about God and what Jesus accomplished for us is that even in the midst of our sins, God in his great love and mercy sent Jesus to this earth to live a life of perfection so that you may not receive the penalties of your sin. An amazing thing. In reality, what took place is God said, "Hey, your life, your stocking, your attempt at trying to attain righteousness or good standing amongst people or amongst yourself to make you feel good is not enough. So therefore, I'm going to take down your life and I'm going to hang a true stocking for you, Jesus Christ, because he is the only one who is able to rid your life of this sin." God has made it clear to us of what Jesus has accomplished. And we have the opportunity then to accept that gift, that free gift, that gift that you did not earn, that was not of your own merit, but because of God's great love and mercy. And we accept him as Romans 10:9-10 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." And when that takes place, when you ask Jesus to become your personal Lord and Savior, as we started, 2 Corinthians 5:17 takes place. You are a new creation. A new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. That's what I think about when I think of the Christmas stocking and why I bring it up today. But there are some other reasons why I bring it up. Whenever I'm planning a lesson, whenever I sit in the chairs and listen to another pastor talk, the question always comes up to my mind, so what? So what does this mean for me, Ben? You may be thinking that too. I have three things for you. It could mean all kinds of stuff, and the Holy Spirit's the one who's going to make application in your life, but I got three for you. Number one, quite simply, is believe. It means for you to believe. To believe, number one, in Jesus Christ, that he is God's one and only Son that came to earth to die for your sins, as I've already said. He did that because God loves you. Glenna mentioned that already. God loves you so much, he sent Jesus to die for you. There's a verse about that, right? An important one you see at football games nowadays, John 3:16. Unfortunately, you're a sinner. And that sin separates you from God. Not because God's a Grinch, because he's some mean person up there. It's because God is perfect. And being perfect, you cannot exist with imperfection. Otherwise, you would cease being perfect. So God, in his great love, sent down his son to live a perfect life and then to die for you and to be a sacrifice for your sins, for your imperfection. And it's believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth, as Romans 10 says. Now let me downshift for a second, all right? I know talking about Christmas that many folks don't have the same feelings I do, all right? There might not be a warm memory when I talk about stockings or running out Christmas morning, or gifts, or may not even bring warm feelings when I talk about Jesus, for that matter. I know that. Talking about Jesus doesn't make people go, oh, so great. It may bring up anger, frustration, bitterness, hatred. I realize that the stockings may not have been filled. I realize that Christmas sometimes only magnifies the dysfunction that so many families and us have at times. It really does some days. Some of us dread going to Christmas parties. Holidays, while for some are filled with joy, for others it only compounds the harsh reality of life. This is why the suicide rate climbs in this time of year. This is why the consumption of alcohol increases in this year. People are seeking to escape the reality of their life that Christmas only magnifies. And hearing about Jesus can do the same thing as well. For Jesus' death on the cross, his perfect act of love reveals the truth about us. And that truth is we are imperfect and we are sinners. And that's tough because our parents always used to say, you're little angels. And how do those two things compute? And when we are confronted with our sin, we then are confronted with the question of what are we going to do about it? And we cannot fix it. We may be able to put a Band-Aid over it for a short time or to mask it so other people think we're a good person, but the effects of sin are eternal. But unlike the emptiness that we experience on Christmas at times, or in any other time of your life, Christ offers life and life to the full. He says, here is your sin, but I have come to die for that sin. And if you believe in me, God no longer sees that, but he sees my life. He sees my sacrifice, my blood that I have shed for you. It starts with believing in him, believing in the true Christmas stocking that has come to fulfill your life, to give you life to the full. It's sort of like starting a new family. When Amy and I got married about 16 years ago now, I didn't take my stocking with me when I left from my mom's house, okay? I remember the stocking that I had. It was like probably many Christmas stockings, red with white at the top. And it was a great Christmas stocking. Served me well over the years, you know. But as I left, I didn't take that stocking with me, nor did Amy take her stockings. What did we do? Well, that first Christmas, we walked hand in hand through the store, and we picked out our new Christmas stockings. Said, these now represent our family. And it's as if God's saying, your life, what you stood for, what you tried to earn, is no longer what brings you peace. It's the Christ stocking, the stocking that I sent down in the person of my son, and he makes you right before me. It's an amazing thing. Believe in Jesus. How do you do that? I'll very simply put it to you. This is how I began my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I had prayed a prayer like this. It says, God, I believe I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe my sin separates me from you. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. I believe to the best of my ability right now that he died, was buried, and then rose from the dead. Make me the person you want me to be. And I prayed amen. And that is how I believe in Jesus. That is how we can believe in Jesus. And that is the first step in understanding all that God has done. But there's more this morning. Secondly, you have to unpack. Like I said, the greatest part of Christmas morning was unpacking that Christmas stocking, you know, pulling out all those things, candy bars, dental floss, whatever it is that was in there. It was so much fun. And when we believe in Jesus Christ and we start that personal relationship with him, we get to unpack what that means. And we pull out of that Christ stocking, you could say, you know, grace, forgiveness, truth, love, patience, guidance. Yes, some of it's not glamorous as you might think. You know, dental floss is not a glamorous gift when you pull out of your stocking, but it's useful and it's needed. And sometimes those things that we pull out of that Christ stocking that we get to experience now may not be glamorous as some might think. You get to pull out the Bible and learn about who God is. Prayer, community, or the life groups. Giving. You get to pull out I tied in even giving out of the Christmas stocking. It's a gift. You get to unpack it and you get to learn about more of who God is. Service, sharing our faith. All of those things allow you to experience Christ in all of his fullness as you begin to learn those. I don't know if it's because of life in general, but our Christian life has really gotten the short end of the stick. And I'll tell you why. Somewhere along the line, reading the Bible, praying, sharing your faith, giving, service, being involved at church, okay, has become a chore or a burden. Perhaps we bring this upon ourselves. Perhaps it's the stigmatism of the world towards Christianity, the legalism found in church, but it was never intended, any of those things, to be some mundane task or some exercise of futility. It is a gift to you to have those things. It's a gift for you to read the Bible. To have communication with God is a gift. To serve other people is a gift. To give to other people, that's a gift. To share your faith in what Jesus has done in your life, that's a gift, ladies and gentlemen. It should never be seen as some chore or burden. Just like, you know, filling stockings these days, every Christmas, my goal is to try and fill my wife's stocking to where it's kind of like coming out, filling over, okay, like the candy's coming out. You know, I don't buy her amazing things, but I want her to open her stocking and be like, this is kind of borderline ridiculous, but nice. That's what I want her to think. And never should I allow the time it takes me to drive to all those stores to rob me from the joy that I experience when she opens it up. And nor should the time it takes to read the word, to pray, the uneasiness I experience when sharing my faith with another person, or the sacrifice it takes from giving to someone, it should never rob me of the joy that I experience in knowing more about who Jesus Christ is. Do you understand? Reading the word, praying, fellowship, evangelism, giving is not a chore, but it's a gift. Do not treat it as a chore. Listen to 2 Peter verses 1, or chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. This does not sound like a burden. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And let me stop for a second. The righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, it's not some like, you know, really nice God, really nice person. But the righteousness of God and Jesus Christ, that is something that we will not completely fathom until we are standing before God in heaven. It's not a light thing, okay? So, and I have a difficulty understanding that, so don't just glance over that. That's an amazing thing that God has afforded us even now to experience. Have received a faith as precious as ours. As precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This is not some, you know, you get to learn about Jesus today. You get to read your Bible. It's a precious thing that God has given you the opportunity to learn about. Unpack those things. And the last thing it means today is this, reveal. It's so funny when we would unpack our stockings, we would show each other, I got this. I got that too. I got socks as well. It was the only time of the year where I would be excited to see a Barbie. My sister would pull out a Barbie and go, I got a Barbie. And I'd be like, all right. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, I just cheered that they got a Barbie. We reveal to others what God has done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. You'll see it on the screen. But we have this treasure. Treasure being salvation. In jars of clay. Jars of clay being our lives. To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Our lives. We have this treasure in jars of clay. We get to reveal to others what God has done. Our lives should reveal that. Sometimes I wish that when I became a Christian or when others became a Christian, there'd be some radical transformation, like we turn into superheroes. Like we'd be able to fly and we'd have capes and we'd be, you know, muscles upon muscles. And it'd be, people would know, wow, they must be a Christian because they look amazing. Matter of fact, one of those songs that the choir did, it sounded like the Incredibles theme song. Did it not to you guys? It did to me. That's a little side note. But that's not what takes place. And even on Christmas morning, when I would walk and see the change of the Christmas stocking, there was not so much a change on the outside. I mean, I could see things protruding a little bit, but the outside still sort of looked the same. And when we become believers, when we ask Jesus into our life, there's a change that takes place. Sometimes it may not be as noticeable on the outside as other times. Because the change that begins to take place is in our heart. You may have remembered the movie The Grinch, either the cartoon or the one with Jim Carrey. He had a small heart, the Grinch, it says. But at the end of the movie, when he doesn't want all the toys and things to be destroyed, it says his heart what? It grew. It grew how many times? Three times the size that it was. And when we give our lives to Jesus, our heart grows for people. And the reason it does is because God has an extraordinary love for mankind. And when we ask Jesus into our hearts, our heart begins to grow. It begins to long for people. It's an amazing thing. And we begin to reveal to others this great love that God has allowed us to experience in our actions, in our speech, and in our countenance. Yes, we may not turn into superheroes, but we began to do supernatural things that we would have never done prior to knowing Jesus. That's an amazing thing. In reality, we are to be a Christmas stocking every day of the year to other people. As they see the way that Christ has changed our life, people begin to unpack the story of how God is changing us. It's an amazing thing. My prayer for you this Christmas is that every day of your life, you would give people the same joy that I received on Christmas morning as a child when I opened that Christmas stocking. You would give them that same joy as they unpack the story of your life of how God is changing you. And that the verse Matthew 5:16 would ring out because of your life. Because in that they are seeing your good deeds and they are praising your Father in heaven. An amazing opportunity we have. That's all I got for you today. Let me pray for us and we'll be done. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus to die for us. And Lord, I pray that if there are those today who do not know you, God, that prayer that we talked about, Lord, they would give their life to you, that they would ask you into their life as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, thank you for dying for me. Thank you, Lord, that you have given me the ability to know your love and to experience it every day of my life and to share it with other people. I pray that this Christmas season would be different than any other because, God, you love us so much. Encourage us, challenge us. I know there are those here today, God, who may be hurting, whether it be physically, emotionally. God, be God as only you can do. Intervene. Help them to understand, Lord, that you love them. You love them so much that your Son came to die for them, that they might experience life and life to the full. We love you, Jesus. Watch over those as they are traveling, even at our Tracy campus too. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.